You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Ad condicionem certam perveni, viris mias, in gravescente etate, non iam aptas esse ad monospitrinum eque administrandum.
Let's stay united. We love Benedict XVI. Jesus is in charge of the church. It's his church, and he's going to guide us through whatever happens.
The question that we need to fundamentally ask when we go to the scriptures is, where is this forgiving my sins? Where are the promises of God? How does this text set me to stand before the face of God?
I like to think of the blind beggar as the first Lutheran. He recognizes that he has nothing to offer Jesus. All he can do is receive from Jesus.
Injury do players in Iowa, love issues, etc.
I think with very few exceptions, this question will be entertained by, sooner or later, by almost every state in the United States, and it's Illinois' turn. Illinois is probably going to fall right in the middle of the pack when it comes to the political landscape covering the subject of same-sex marriage. And for the first half hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 12th, we're going to talk about same-sex marriage in the state of Illinois. That's my home state. That's where Issues Etc. is produced. It has a special place in our heart, but it really is, I think, undoubtedly coming to a state near you as well. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Bob Gilligan on same-sex marriage in Illinois, Pastor Tom Baker joins us for an hour. We'll talk about the temptation of Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Then Dr. Reed Lessing joins us for part two of our conversation with him on the prophet Amos and Christian repentance. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Bob Gilligan is executive director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, based in Chicago. Bob, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
What is the current state of kind of legal legislative state of same-sex marriage in the state of Illinois?
Well, the legislation, the bill number is Senate Bill 10. That's Senate Bill 10, and it passed the Senate Executive Committee last week. So now it will be debated and probably voted on Valentine's Day. That is Thursday the 14th. So we expect a full vote in the Senate on Valentine's Day the 14th.
That is very, very soon. Do you have an indication at this late date where that vote might go?
Yeah, we think they're probably going to eke it out. It's probably going to pass. I have it at roughly, I think they need 30 to pass. I think they're at 29 now. I identify about 8 that are in the middle that could go either way. I'm sure that they'll get more than a handful. And then I think there's like another 22 on our side for sure. So I'm concerned it's going to pass the Senate.
If it does, what's going to change in Illinois?
Well, what's going to change is we're going to get a whole lot of folks who really oppose this bill to get more engaged so it doesn't pass the Illinois State House. You know, the civics lesson here is it has to pass both chambers, the state Senate, then it goes to the state House. And I can tell the listeners out there that we are in a stronger position in the House, but we need to retain that strength by getting more people involved in this issue. So the name of the game for us is going to be to stop it in the House.
And it, just for the sake of argument and explanation, if it were, by some chance, to pass the House, what's going to happen with regard to the governor?
The governor will sign it. He's indicated that he's going to sign it, and actually he's going to work towards its passage.
Then what would be the case for same-sex marriage in Illinois?
Well, unfortunately, you know, our opinion is that it redefines marriage for everybody. There are some that think, oh, we'll just add this population onto the everybody else who's married, but it doesn't work that way. So we're calling it a redefinition of marriage bill. This bill passes. The law states in Illinois that any two people can marry. Logically, why couldn't we add more than two onto that definition? And so what that means is that the time tested definition of marriage has now changed. It's no longer an institution with its focus as a child, and that's what we think marriage is by nature. It links a child to its biological parents. So the permanency and the marital norms that we've understood in society will be changed.
A real quick question on the kind of the politics of that. Isn't Governor Quinn a Roman Catholic?
Yes, yes, he professes to be.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about this redefinition that's there. How do you respond to someone who says really all we are doing is taking an existing institution and we are simply broadening its application legally to people who heretofore have not had it applied to them?
Well, there are certain things that are just sort of true by nature, and that one of those things, and when we're talking about marriage, is that the necessary ingredients are a man and a woman. And the reason we have laws to define what marriage is and is not... Look, if it weren't for children, we probably wouldn't have civil marriage laws. We wouldn't need them. But the fact of the matter is that all of us came here on this planet through the actions of a man and a woman. And therefore, that we believe that the law should promote that activity, and because that's how we pass across our values and our ethics and for future generations. Unfortunately, what people are trying to do is they're looking at this issue from the prism of an adult. Let's look at it from the prism of a child. And children know that they have a mom and a dad, right? Every kid knows that. We should probably follow the wisdom of children.
So let's go a little deeper into that. What is the effect on children if the state of Illinois, or any state for that matter, decides to redefine marriage in law?
Well, the concern for a child is that studies will indicate that the best environment for a child is in a loving home with a mother and a father, because each of us learn different roles from our father and from our mother. It's the way we develop as people, and social science will bear this out, that one of the things that we all need is the attention, nurturing of a mother figure that has a role in a child's life that's distinctly different from a man, who also has an influence on a child in an entirely different way. And children need to learn from those different role models in order to prosper and become successful members of society.
Now, the objection that's often raised at this point when you raise the question of marriage and its relationship to children is, look, there are elderly couples, there are infertile couples. It sounds like what you're saying is they shouldn't be allowed. If child raising and rearing is the real point here, they shouldn't be allowed to marry. How do you respond to that objection?
Well, yeah, that's kind of silly because, number one, how many people out there have heard the story of a couple who, you know, they tried and tried and tried and they were determined to be infertile and they had a child? I mean, we hear those stories all the time. Now, clearly that does not happen for everybody. Unfortunately, some couples do continue to try and try and they cannot conceive a child for whatever reason. And so, but even if that couple cannot conceive a child naturally, they are role models in the community for what a marriage is. Their lifestyle is sanctifying in terms of the actions that they do within a marriage are life-giving, and they are unitive, and they help build a better relationship with that couple. So, with all due respect to that argument, I think it's just an argument that doesn't hold any water.
Talk about the societal benefits of retaining the natural definition of marriage in law.
Well, like I said, one of the things I think we should think about is if marriage is redefined. I talked a little bit about, you know, laws set sort of societal expectations, and they do create norms, and they do help change behavior. If marriage is redefined, think about the impact that has on, for example, this is a good example. What about teachers out there that are involved in instructing our children in a public school setting? If marriage is redefined to be something between any two people, does that teacher have a right to say that, well, in her opinion, two men and two women are not the same as a traditional marriage between a man and a woman? And let's think about the impact that also has on children. The child is going to be taught then that a relationship between two men and two women are equal to that of a man and a woman. And that's simply not true.
Okay. What about, I mean, that kind of gets to the issue of... Are you talking there about freedom of conscience when it comes to teachers?
Well, yeah, and that's why we don't think marriage should be redefined, because, like I said, by nature it's between a man and a woman. And so once we start tinkering with these fundamental building blocks of society, the societal chaos that will result is incalculable. I think that's the concern, that we're starting to see that go on in other states where people have objections to what's being taught because of their individual conscience. And now they're going to be coerced by secular society to conform. And that's wrong.
How do you respond to the civil rights objection? And that is, look, this is of the same cloth with the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s, of the feminist movement in the next decades here. We have made progress with regard to the civil rights of African Americans and other minorities and women. Now it's time to do the same for same-sex couples.
Well, those two are not comparable. I mean, to compare the civil rights struggle, what African Americans went through, and what, if you will, the gay community is trying to achieve, are just not similar in any way, shape, or form. It is a tragedy that in this country, at one point in time, there were laws that barred interracial couples from marrying. But it's important to point out that even in that situation, there was still a man and a woman. So they were still a man and a woman that wished to be married, and it was the race that was preventing them from being married. So by nature, we would say that they still could still be married, even though the secular law prevented it. The situation today is entirely different. And what we have is people of the same gender trying to come together to marry. That is not equivalent to an opposite sex situation that was occurring years ago.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Bob Gilligan, talking about same-sex marriage in Illinois. Stay tuned.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 12th. We're talking with Bob Gilligan, Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, based in Chicago, about same-sex marriage in Illinois. Should there be some provision, Bob, in the law in Illinois for same-sex couples not to marry. But with regard to that laundry list of things that we often hear, inheritance rights, visitation rights, et cetera, what do you think?
Well, interestingly enough, in the state of Illinois, they have those things now. Civil unions passed, it was 2 years ago. They went into effect about 18 months ago. And so same-sex couples today do have many of the secular protections in law that married couples have. So when we're talking about this legislation pending in Springfield, is what they're trying to do is redefine the word for everybody. And that's what we're trying to stop from happening. It's also, important to, I want to point out as well that one of the things we hear over and over again is this issue about visitation rights in hospitals. The President of the United States of America, Barack Obama, issued an executive order about 2 years ago which prohibits any hospital that receives public funding from prohibiting a visitation from a same-sex individual. So, if that is going on, which I can't say that it's never happened anywhere, but it's against the executive order, it's against the civil union law in Illinois. So, like I said, is it possible somebody said something to somewhere at some point in time? Of course it is. But I got a feeling in those situations, it was probably a family dispute and not a policy of a hospital.
So you are saying that in the state of Illinois, and then with respect to the president's executive order, there really is nothing restricting inheritance or visitation or any of the other list of things that a same-sex couple might enjoy legally without redefining marriage.
My reference to the executive order was with regard to hospital visitations. Now you're opening up a whole different frame of work. When it comes to state benefits, yes, there's no different. Same-sex couples can enjoy all of the benefits as a married couple, as far as we know, because of the civil union law. Civil union accords a same-sex couple all the benefits, protections, and obligations found in a traditional marriage. But there is some differences at the federal level that has nothing to do with Illinois state law, and that you do hear about from time to time, but that has to do with the federal definition of marriage, which is being disputed in the case that's pending before the U.S. Supreme Court under the Defense of Marriage Act. So there are some federal issues that are at play here. That is true.
At a more visceral level, Bob, it's often just simply people saying, look, the desire to keep marriage from same-sex couples is born of bigotry. What do you say?
It's not bigotry at all. I mean, at least I'll speak from the Catholic Church's perspective, is that everybody we encounter is made in the image and likeness of God. It is probably true that some people have a homosexual orientation. Do we discriminate based on that orientation? Absolutely not. The Church, as far as I know, it serves people who may have a homosexual orientation. We obviously probably employ many people with a homosexual orientation. So we're not discriminating against individuals. What we're saying is that marriage is a separate issue. Marriage is a time-tested institution that is, like I said, by nature between a man and a woman. You can't change the nature of certain institutions. You just, a square is not a circle. A square is four equal sides by nature. Marriage is between a man and a woman. It's by nature. We all have received a gender from our maker, if you will. We all came here as either a man or a woman. And men and a woman acting together are procreate for the future generations. That's basic nature. You don't have to be a religious person to understand that. That's just the way it is.
And with regard to that term discrimination, shouldn't we also at least at some point assert that part of the function of law is to make certain discriminations? That is, even with respect to marriage, I'm not permitted to marry, say, a minor child.
Right.
The law makes that rightful discrimination with regard to the institution of marriage, if only in that case.
There's such a thing as just discrimination and unjust discrimination, which is, you're right, laws are about choices. They make choices. We have set a speed limit of 55. It's not 60. Are we discriminating against those that want to drive above 55 or 60 miles an hour? Well, Yeah. I mean, so there's just and unjust discrimination. And when you get into that word discrimination, that's a word that gets bantered about and has unfortunately taken on some meanings that may not be entirely accurate.
Another objection that I have heard, and I wonder how you would respond, is, look, this is essentially the church meddling in the affairs of the state. The church mm-hmm. If you don't want to marry same-sex couples, then don't perform the marriages in your church. But this is a matter of state, and the church should keep its nose out of it.
Yeah, that's another argument that's kind of interesting because, you know, it's funny. I live in Chicago. I never hear that used when the church is taking positions on, immigration reform or, any of the other myriad of issues that we have that affect low-income people or housing or things like that. I never hear that accusation on other topics, but I seem to hear that a lot when it comes to marriage and defending human life. And the second response I have to that is the church has an obligation, and all faiths have obligations, to speak toward what they term the common good. And so we do think it's part of our responsibility to speak out about things that we think should be enacted in society and things that we see are wrong. I mean, we have every right under the law in the United States to do that, and we should do that. I mean, look at how many wonderful pieces of legislation came out of the church community, people of faith advocating for different causes, and oftentimes citing their faith for the reason that they got involved in the issue to begin with.
Now, here's a more little complicated argument, but I'd like your response. It is that, look, let's allow for the moment that people are born with a homosexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
It is simply unjust. They can't change that. They love who they love. The heart wants what it wants. It's simply unjust to deny them kind of the culmination of that love relationship in marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's something to – here's the other thing I would say is, look, all of us have behaviors or attributes that we work on, right? I mean, Lord knows I'm a very impatient person. I have friends that have characteristics and attributes that need to be controlled and contained. And, you know, the church teaches that, you know, as a heterosexual, I should not be engaged in sexual activity unless under a marriage. So we're called to be chaste. Some people don't live up to that. But we all have those desires and urges that we have to control. So, with regard to those issues, and there's other things that we do in society, too, that we just frown upon. Look at the whole movement towards cigarette smoking, trying to curb cigarette smoking. Well, that's a behavior as well. So many of us have behavior and characteristics that we, you know, have to control.
Finally, then, speaking as a Catholic, then, please give me your best answer here, and that is, and this is often just kind of the cultural argument, the Catholic Church on this issue, and they are the kind of the bulwark in terms of churches in America on this issue, they're old-fashioned, to put it nicely, maybe even medieval, mm-hmm. and they need, the culture has moved on, the public opinion has moved on, it's time for the Catholic Church to get with it.
Yeah, that's funny because I have a friend of mine who gave me that same argument once. Actually, we were walking our dogs in the park, and off the my knee-jerk reaction was, really? And what is so great about the modern society that we're trying to catch up with? I mean, look at many of the things that go on in society today. And so the church needs to, what, abandon all its traditions and abandon all its teachings to catch up with this? You know, I suppose that, you know, look, the Catholic Church, as we believe it, we speak what we believe is the truth. And the truth may not be exactly, cutting edge. It may be difficult at times to accept it, but we think it is the truth, whether it is up to the modern times or not. Generally, I think most people, if they're discerning these issues, if they take a step back and they really have time to discern them and pray about them and be open to the truth, I think they'll recognize that the church is right.
With only about 30 seconds here, in the days and weeks to come, what can our Illinois listeners do in the battle over same-sex marriage in that state?
They can call their elected official. They can call their state representative or their state senator. If you don't know who that is, you can go to www.ilcatholic.org. If you type in your address, your legislator's name will come up there. Please send a message to them indicating to vote no on Senate Bill 10. So it's www.ilcatholic. And if you don't have access to the web, you can call 217-528-9200, and that person there will be able to help you out, find out who your representative is, to send a message to vote against this bill.
Bob Gilligan is executive director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, based in Chicago. You can read a great document that they've published titled Questions and Answers on Marriage at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Tom Baker joins us for the next hour of the program. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson, and this is a big one. The temptation of Jesus, Luke's account of the temptation of Jesus. Here are a couple questions. I mean, everybody has heard this story in Sunday school. Everybody's seen this in the Bible. The gospel accounts cover it. Jesus is out there in the wilderness, and he's hungry, and he's being tempted by the devil, and then he emerges victorious, and the devil scoots off with his tail between his legs, perhaps. But he comes back, it says, until an opportune time. He leaves Jesus till an opportune time. Does that mean that this is the only time Jesus was ever tempted during his earthly ministry? And since this follows immediately upon Jesus' baptism, what's the relationship between Jesus' baptism and his subsequent temptation by the devil in the wilderness? We'll answer those questions and more with Pastor Tom Baker right after this.
Hi, this is Jonathan calling from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota, St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio, First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
There's a new trend developing during pregnancy. It's called ultrasound parties. Usually it's at the home of the expectant parents with friends and family there. It starts out as an average party until the licensed ultrasound tech places gel on the mother's stomach and the unborn baby appears on monitors. Immediately, the chatty group is focused on the 3D and 4D images. The techs from Babyface and more say most of the ultrasound parties serve as a gender reveal, in other words, announcing the sex of the baby. This new party trend is spreading with other businesses popping up around the country. Imagine a pro-abortion career woman who invites her like-minded colleagues to the party, and they come face-to-face with the beauty of unborn life. It'll move hearts and change minds.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.